We're here today with Suzanne Reynolds a cappella. And Suzanne, in November of 2009, when you were 11 years old, you were a passenger in a car that was hit by a distracted driver. Could you discuss and describe that accident?
I had just gotten back from a sleepover at my dance studio. And we were going to go to a family dinner. We went home, and then we got my aunt, my cousin, and we got in the car, and we were going to a family dinner at my grandparents' house. I don't really remember this, but we were going to a family dinner at my grandparents' house. And we had stopped at a red light. My aunt was driving, my mom was sitting in the passenger side, and then me and my cousin, Frankie, were in the back. Then when the light turned green, my aunt went forward, and a woman had been reaching down to get her cell phone off her floorboard, and she didn't see that her light had turned red, and she ran the red light and ran into us. We slid and went off the road. My mother was killed on impact. It shattered her aorta, and she bled to death. My skull was fractured. My cousin broke his collarbone and then has several scars on his forehead. And my aunt had, internal bruising everywhere.
So you don't really remember the accident happening because of your head injury?
I remember little tiny pieces, but nothing about the accident happening. Yeah, I was told I was in a coma for 2 days.
Wow. When did you learn that your mother had died in the accident?
I don't remember exactly when they told me, but all I remember is not believing it and saying that, this was a dream. She's going to wake me up from it. It's all going to be okay. And I would go outside and I would look for her and I would scream her name. And it was really hard on everybody in the family because it took about probably a week before I realized that she wasn't coming back.
Well, after you had recovered from what appeared to be rather severe injuries, how did you decide to use this personal tragedy?
For the rest of my 6th grade year and then my 7th grade year, kind of most of my 8th grade year pretty much, I didn't really do anything. It's not really something you want to think about. 7th grade year was a really hard year. I was struggling a lot with adjusting and my attitude, and it was bad. But then 8th grade it got better, and I didn't really think of it, but then Tyler Krause, the founder of Reynolds Right Hands, the organization started to end distracted driving or, spread awareness for it. He invited me to, Seminole County Sanford Summit in our area, and we went to that. It was at the AAA building. I went to that, and my friend Dominique came with me, and she's kind of been there for me for this, She comes. She does all this, she supports it, and we went, and we kind of learned some, and I spoke. That was kind of when, I was kind of like, okay, maybe I should, start doing this. And then we had the booth at our school the whole week of, the anniversary for the accident. We set up a booth, and...
Now, this is at Seminole High School?
Yes, at Seminole High School. We set up a booth. Me, Dominique, and her sister Brittany is actually really involved in this. Brittany attended Crooms her freshman year. We had people pledge with their thumbprint not to text and drive, and we handed out, pamphlets of information. People ordered T-shirts, things like that. So that was getting involved. And then after that, me, Brittany, and Dominique all went to the Teen Distracted Driving Summit in Washington. That was really cool, and that was what really, sparked everything. I was like, okay, I really need to start getting involved, because two newspapers, they interviewed me, and I was like, this is so cool. And then AT&T interviewed me. Lots of people have been wanting to interview me, and it's like, I could really make a difference, so.
Well, I have a couple of questions. My first one is, who is Tyler Krause?
Tyler Krause was one of my mom's students. He was going through a pretty hard time in high school, and she really helped him a lot, and she helped him find himself, kind of. He was going through some, struggles with who he was, and so they were really close, and it was him And then...
Well, that must have been because he was so close to your mom as a teacher and as a friend.
Yes.
That it must have been a really devastating blow to him.
It was to him. And then also a student, Caroline. She was my mom's, like, I don't know, they were really close. I saw pictures, all this stuff. They were really good friends, too. They had this day at Crooms where students switch with teachers, and she, like, taught her classes for her, and Caroline was my mom's teacher assistant. They were both big, you know, Gator fans, and they both just had such a connection, and it was really hard for her. So her and Tyler got together, and they started the Reynolds Right Hands organization.
Where did the name come from, Reynolds Right Hand?
Reynolds Right Hand. Reynolds because Christy Reynolds, so that's her last name. And then Right Hand because that's the hand most people use to text with, so it was like, put the phone down, right hand.
And the symbol of that, we have a picture of that on the website so people can see. The symbol is the right hand in a bright fluorescent pink color in front of an automobile. In other words, stop. Mm-hmm. Use your right hand to text.
Yeah.
I see. So these students at Crooms were much older than you were when this happened, and they were very distressed that their teacher had been killed by a distracted driver.
Yes.
And that's what got them fired up.
They had banners all around the hallways. People would write messages to her, and they even made a scrapbook writing poems and saying all the nice things she did, they gave that to me.
Well, I know that your mother was an award-winning teacher. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I read that she was the first teacher that was even hired for Crooms Academy of Information Technology because they wanted her to be part of that. Must have been a difficult time for the people in that school. In any case, we now have Reynolds Right Hand, an organization of young people, but they are all graduating. So does this put you in the position of being the next generation as you pick up the torch for your mother and move on through your high school career?
I'm not quite sure. I guess that's kind of up to Tyler because the other people in the group that started it, one was Rosemary, one was Caroline, you know, they've all gone off to college and stuff. And then Tyler, he's pretty much like the head honcho, I guess, of the organization.
Yeah, he's listed as the executive director.
Yeah, he still works with it, and he goes everywhere, you know, with the summits and stuff. And
so Reynolds Right Hand is not limited to Crooms High School. It can be anybody can join?
Yeah, pretty much anybody can join. There was one student from Lyman, two from Winter Springs, I think, and then us three from Seminole.
Teenagers at any high school can get involved in this project
if
they want to try to stop the texting. Even the shortest text message that anyone would write takes about 5 seconds, which means you've gone about 100 yards or a football field's worth of distance if you're traveling 55 miles an hour, where you have not been aware of what's going on the road. That seems like a really serious problem for a driver if they try texting.
Covered a lot about stuff like that at the summit. We learned a lot of information about the car technology, distances, and when you slam on your brakes, if you're going 55 miles per hour, you travel the length of a football field before you can actually stop. So even if you are, you know, you're trying, you see, you notice it, and you slam on your brakes, it still, in some cases, probably won't do anything. You'll still probably have the crash and, you know, could change someone's life. In 2010, 416,000 people were injured from crashes and distracted driving, and 30,000 were killed from it. So, yes.
Now, those numbers include people talking on cell phones as well as people texting.
Yes, it's just being distracted.
A lot of tragedy that could be avoided if people were not distracted while they're driving.
Yeah. Also, it's not just like cell phones. It's also people putting on their makeup. They'll be, you know, they have the mirror down and they'll be trying to put on their makeup while they're driving because they're late for school or looking for something in your purse. They'll be in the car and they really need to finish this essay. You know, I've seen a few students trying to like write while they're driving, trying to write an essay, and you need to have a passenger to do those things for you so you can focus on the road.
So if you're riding with someone, let them do the texting.
Yes.
You do the driving.
Yes, that's what my whole family does. We Well, now my grandma has the thing in her car where, you know, you just have to press an accept button on this thing, and then you just talk, and you hear it, and you don't have to do anything.
Totally hands-free. Teenagers today text like ordinary people breathe. It seems like it's second nature to them. You guys have been raised with a cell phone in your hands. 34% of all teens say that they have texted while driving. 55% of them say they believe that it's safe to text and drive. How do you overcome those kinds of feelings by young people who see their cell phone as a necessity, not as there for convenience?
That's a really hard thing to do. I still think we're trying to figure out how to reach, but that's why I think it's good that most of this work that I'm involved in is youth-led, so we can try and reach the youth, because they'll listen to us, hopefully. And, you know, I'll share my story with my close friends, but then I know some of them still do text and drive, and I feel like it just has to be repetitive. You cannot do this. It has a bad impact. My school, actually, I think me and Brittany are going to try and arrange like a little pep rally, you know, to spread awareness. And we're going to try and get speakers. I'll probably speak and we'll have like activities to do. And I don't know, I feel like you just have to keep pushing it. Don't let it sit and just keep...
Keep the pressure on.
Yeah, keep telling them these stories and they don't realize it until it happens to them. But by then it's too late. And I'm not mad at the woman who hit our car and killed my mother, because of course, you know, it's terrible, it shouldn't have happened, it's totally preventable, but I can't be angry at her, because my family, members of my family who were texting and driving too, I didn't think anything of it. So I can't be mad at her, because so many people do that. I feel like people automatically like villainize people. Oh, she's a terrible person, she killed someone in a car accident. But then they, like an hour later, they're getting in the car and they'll do that too. They'll just go on their phone and they won't think anything of it.
Suzanne, you spent 2.5 years recovering, healing yourself before you became an activist in this cause. Has it been good for you to be asked to relive this incident and remember your mother so actively? Is that something that now is good for you, or is it hard?
It's hard. I mean, it's not bad for me, but I don't really think it's good for me. Like, we were really close, you know. She was my best friend. I went to her for everything. We never fought, ever. And so it definitely is really hard to think about sometimes. You know, memories are everywhere, all over my house, and it gets pretty hard sometimes. But I don't want other people to have to go through what my family and I went through. The thing that gets to me is that we had never fought. Ever. Like, maybe little things like, oh my gosh, okay, but we never really had fought. But around the time of the accident, about a week before, she was going out with this guy, and that was really new to me. I was like, I have to share you? You know, I'm not sharing you, you're my mom, you only me, like, you know. And so I was so used to her devoting every single minute to me, and so it was really hard, you know, when you have divorced parents and you get really close to one parent, you don't want him to start dating someone else. And so this was new and I didn't know how to react, and I was really angry at her, and I was just being rude and not good. And I know all teenagers do that and stuff, and people were like, well, oh, she still loves you and stuff. But teens need to know that when you fight like that, people could be taken away at any moment. And I didn't think she was going to, but we were fighting. And then she was gone, and I didn't have a chance to tell her that I loved her or anything like that, like we usually did. And so that's a big regret of mine, you know. I have to look back on it and think about that every time I look back on it, and that's really hard for me.
So the more activist you are, you can save someone else from having the same kinds of regrets,
yeah,
the same situation.
Definitely. People are going to get angry at family members. That's how it is. Teenager hormones, you know, all that stuff. I understand it's hard to control your temper and you get frustrated and stuff, but all I ask of my friends is to try and be respectful to their parents. Just try and be respectful and grateful for what you have, because you never know when it's going to be taken away. And that was a really big lesson I learned, because I didn't know. I've been good, you know, my whole life. I was really good and I didn't know how to react. Of course, you know, she'd be taken away from me at the time that we were fighting, so.
Yeah, life is really fragile, and you just don't know.
Yep.
You wake up from an injury, and it's all changed.
Yeah, live every moment to your fullest. That's why I say don't try and plan your whole life out, because that could be when it ends, when you're trying to plan it all out and you have to live in the moment. And it's always good to be prepared, but just try and have fun because, you know, you never know.
Suzanne, there are many states that have a no texting while driving law. Would you like to see such a law passed in Florida?
I would. I would like to see that law. That'd be a great start. That'd be really good. I mean, I know not everybody follows the law and stuff, and people speed, and then when they see a cop, they slow down. But I feel like if it was a law, that would be a start. And then eventually, I'd like to reach the no handheld devices law. No texting. People would probably think, you know, I was just talking. I could still call, but that's...
Is there a chance that such a law would be introduced to the legislature in Florida?
I think we can. I think we can get the texting, no texting and driving law passed. I think we can do it. And I would really like people to contact their legislator and tell them to support the no texting and driving law.
Well, since we have a new legislative session about to open in just a few weeks, maybe there will be a law in 2013.
Maybe. That, will,
that would be quite an achievement, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
Suzanne, I understand that you went to Washington, D.C. Was this a national conference on distracted driving, or were you there to visit congressmen, or what was your purpose in going to Washington?
I went to a Teen Distracted Driving Prevention Summit in Washington, D.C., and it was a youth summit, so kids from all around the country came up to Washington. Luckily, our trip was pretty short, you know, from Florida to Washington. It's not that bad, but some people traveled like day and night to get there. People from Illinois, Nevada, Texas, Ohio, Arizona, all these places. People just came from everywhere, Idaho, all these places. And it was really cool to get to meet all these people. That was probably my favorite part because we got to hear about what motivated them. And a lot of people had a lot of, you know, cool stories. Some people it was in the family, some people it was friends, a lot of kids it was because at their school there was just so many deaths. Like one kid was telling me that in 1 year, like 12 kids at their school were killed by distracted driving, so he decided to take action at their school. So that was really cool to get to talk to all those people. And then...
Now, this was the 2012 Teen Distracted Driving Prevention Summit. Big, long title for an important meeting.
Yes. Well, first we started with having a little fun and meeting everybody, and we did these really cool activities. A lot of people came in and spoke. We learned about the vehicle technology, car technology, camera monitoring. We learned a lot about the law enforcement. A lot of people came in and spoke about their stories, why this is so important to them. To me, what was really cool, what made me feel close to a lot of the teens there, was at the end of the first day, we all sat in like a big clump, and we just passed around the microphone and told like our stories and why we were here and why it was so important to us. And that was really cool, hearing everybody's story. I spoke and told my story, and I even met a girl there named Emily Reynolds, who... was there because her sister was killed, and her sister was also killed at an intersection by a lady who ran a red light. So I thought that was really cool, you know, connect with her. The administrator, David Strickland, who is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator, came and he spoke, and that was really cool. We learned a lot about how to spread awareness. We learned about how to do pep rallies, media events, poster blitz. Also, they talked to us about partnering with other organizations. So you can, like, you know, if you partner with, like, a car company or something like that, they can spread awareness inside their businesses.
Well, I noticed that one of the sponsors for this summit was AT&T. The company that provides text messaging services over your cell phone is actually leading the charge against distracted driving.
Yes. AT&T actually interviewed me. AT&T has these commercials about distracted driving, and I think they have three spokespeople for AT&T. And the main one is, his name is Will Craig, and he had severe brain damage. He was in a car, and they were going 120 miles per hour with his girlfriend, and they were just speeding down the road, and she was texting, and you know, music was blaring, and then they got into the accident, and his girlfriend didn't make it, and he had severe damage, and, you know, he'll never be the same again. It's hard for him to talk and, you know, function. And
it really must have been interesting for you, because that could have been you. You were very lucky with the kind of head injury that you have, that there was so little, if any,
yes,
residual damage.
I am lucky. I just have, you know, memory issues, and then it's hard for me to process some things, some visual things, and my memory is really bad. It affected that a lot, but, you know, I'll take that over relearning everything. But Will Craig is such an amazing guy. Like, his attitude is so positive, and so he just makes you smile. He has a sense of humor, and he's great, and he's the spokesperson for AT&T, and they really are trying to spread this awareness, and they actually have an app called Drive Mode, and it applies to AT&T and Android phones, and you can get the Drive Mode app, and once you get in the car, if your phone's on, when your car gets up to 25 miles per hour, I think it is, your phone is, like, automatically deactivated, so you can't text or call, and if someone tries to text or call you while your car is over that 20, 25 miles per hour, it has an automatic response back that says, I'm in the car, I'll get back to you later. So I think that's really cool, and hopefully Apple will come out with an app like that soon.
That sounds like a very good technological solution to this situation.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You just would have to get people to get the app,
yeah,
and put it on their phone. Well, that sounds like a great idea. So the whole premise of this is raise the awareness.
Yes,
raise keep the awareness. Keep it up. So, use whatever techniques you can to keep raise the awareness.
Mm-hmm. And also in Washington, we did this really cool activity. We got into groups, and we went out and walked on the sidewalks, and we had these little clickers that would count. So every time you clicked it, you know, it would count one, two, three. We counted, like, how many people we saw in cars that were distracted, so that was really cool. And we counted how many people would not follow the lights. A lot of people run red lights in Washington because if they think they can get it, because the roads are really close there and it's, like, really busy. And we counted how many people didn't walk on the crosswalk, just cross the street, and then also how many people didn't pay attention to the crosswalk signs that told you to stop and go, when they just went. And it was a lot of fun seeing and stuff. That was really cool.
Speaking of that, could you tell, or could your colleagues, could they tell when somebody was texting and driving? Can you see that from the outside? Because I hear the argument all the time. This law is a nice idea, but it won't work because you can't tell when somebody is texting and driving. So how do you arrest them?
Some people, they have those really dark tinted windows, so you can't see it. But then a lot of people will ride with their windows down, or a lot of people don't have those windows. And I see it all the time. I see a lot of people on their phones. When I walk home from my bus, it's like every other car is on their phone. I was counting one time, and like four cars in a row, people were on their phone, and it's crazy. Back to the AT&T thing. They actually also have a simulator. It's the It Can Wait simulator. And it's really cool because all you need is like a computer or a laptop, or if you want to have like a big projector. And then you have a chair, and you have a pedal, and like a steering wheel. And then you have a phone. AT&T, like, they have it so it sends you messages, and you have to pick it up and respond to it, but stay on track. If you run a red light or crash or something like that, you know, the sirens come. And I didn't even make it through, like, the first light because they sent me the message, and I picked it up, and I, like, and I crashed. And
you may think that you can do it and handle it, but when you try the simulator, you find out just how hard, how distracting texting really is. They ought to do that with kids in high school as part of the driving instructing program.
Yeah, that's really cool, and it's not expensive. I mean, it's not, like, super cheap, but it's really not that expensive, and the website is itcanwaitsimulator.org.
Suzanne Reynolds Acapella, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.